Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
This week I talked to Justice Minister Andrew Little about the extension to the COVID-19 leave support scheme in his portfolio as the Workplace Relations Minister, and the party's claim to double the paid sick leave and increase minimum wage. And I also asked Minister Little about the party's stance on conversion therapy, but I began by asking him his thoughts on the leaders' debate on Tuesday night.
I'm a Labor Party MP and Minister, so you know I could be accused of having a particular bias about it. I think it was an interesting debate. I think, you know, Jacinda Ardern, you know, clearly I think she was trying to rise above any kind of pettiness and keep focused on sort of answering the questions and focused on issues. I think Judith Collins was, you know, my view is that Judith Collins, in the time that she's been leader, she's got nothing to lose, and that explains a lot of her conduct. I think there was a lot of smirking and eye rolling and all that sort of thing going on. Her job was to have an impact. She did, of sorts. Would I say either side kind of won the debate? I don't think so. I think it was an early kind of salvo, got themselves out there, and that was it. I don't think anybody coming away from it would think, slam dunk, either Jacinda Ardern or Judith Collins won it. I think it was, I think that's pretty much it.
Cover this week now, you and Social Development Minister Kamil Sipiloni yesterday announced there will be extensions to the COVID-19 leave payment support scheme. So what is this about?
So this is the scheme that was set up for people who have to take leave, who would otherwise have to take sick leave, because either they are suspected of having COVID-19 and are awaiting test results, or they're living with somebody who's got it or suspected of having it, or they're living with somebody who is vulnerable because of their age or underlying health conditions to getting it and need to stay at home. And if they're dependent, they need somebody else there. So it's to support people to stay at home. Up to now, it's been pretty much run along the same lines as the wage subsidy. So a big chunk of money goes to the employer. In the case of the leave subsidy, it's up to 4 weeks in one lump sum. But a person might not need to have 4 weeks off. So we've changed it so it's up to 2 weeks. And there's a few other sort of refinements. But we're actually doing a deeper review of the whole scheme because we think that scheme is going to have to be around for a lot longer yet. There'll be more people who will need to take time off because they have symptoms and they're being tested. But they may only need a few days off, not even 2 weeks. So we want to sort of tailor the scheme for that sort of situation. And a lot of people won't have sick leave, and we want to support employers to make sure that people are staying home at the time when there's at least a suspicion they've got the virus, but they're awaiting tests.
Where does the fund for the support for the subsidy come from? Is it similar to the wage subsidy scheme that has a separate fund for itself?
Yeah, that just comes out of right at the very beginning, the government set aside $50 billion to deal with the COVID. A lot of that money has been spent through the wage subsidy, but through economic initiatives to get the economy going. And there's the $14 billion left over just for ongoing responses. Some money was set aside for the leave support scheme. I can't remember the total amount, but it's not all fully spent. And that has left us, you know, with room to sort of make these changes. But there's money set aside for this as part of the total $50 billion response.
The first union said last month that some big businesses are opting not to apply for the government for the sick leave subsidy and forcing their own employees to use their own sick leave to cover for any days that they need to take off for COVID testing or even isolation. Has the government done anything to encourage these businesses to take the sick leave subsidy instead?
Yes, we have done, and we're going to continue to do that. I mean, I think some businesses have said to people they need to take annual leave to cover that period. We've made it very clear this is not an annual leave situation. It's not, strictly speaking, a sick leave situation. And the reality is that a lot of people will have run out of their sick leave entitlements anyway. So we're saying to employers that actually if you've got employees in this situation, you should be applying for this. At the moment, the way the scheme runs, it has to go through the employer. We are keeping open the option of employers don't do that and some workers left out of pocket, that we will open a scheme for employees to apply directly to get that cover so they don't have to exhaust their sick leave.
Speaking on another workplace relations issue, now recently the Labour Party announced that as an election promise, it will raise the minimum wage and double sick leave. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, we've made a number of commitments, but what we're saying is that, look, as a result of the experience of COVID-19, what became apparent is a lot of people didn't have access to sick leave, and they should have done, because it's not, for a lot of people, particularly parents of young children, it's not, their sick leave is not just for them, it's enabled to them to look after sick kids as well. And when we looked at it, we saw 5 days as a minimum entitlement. It was just way too low, that in this day and age, actually people do need access, in some cases, to longer periods. Not everybody takes up all their sick leave. In fact, most workers don't use all of their sick leave in any 1 year. But there are circumstances in which, you know, people will need to have access to more sick leave than they currently get at the moment. In terms of the minimum wage, we'd made a commitment some time ago that by 2021, we wanted the minimum wage to be at $20 an hour. We're still committing to that, but obviously, because of the impact of the virus and the disruption that it's caused, we will take advice on the impact of that. What we've seen is that even though the economy has been disrupted and we've had lowering of GDP and so on, that actually our economy has recovered more quickly than most around the world. We saw it after the first lockdown. Our economy bounced back way more quickly than anybody expected. We're expecting the same thing this time, but in terms of timing of the final step of getting the minimum wage up to $20 an hour, we'll take advice on that. But we expect it will be during 2021.
I remember a couple of weeks ago, you got a petition from the Council of Trade Unions to increase the number of paid sick leave. Is this promise related to that petition?
We got the petition, but the policy work that the party had done had predated that. So the Labor Party itself, in terms of its policy development, that started after the lockdown. Those decisions were signed off back in sort of July. So, look, the petition was helpful, it was coincidental to the decision we'd made that we finally got to announce last weekend.
And the National and ACT parties said this would cripple businesses, especially during when we are going through a recession. What do you think about these comments?
Look, they are comments of today, but as I said, the commitment is to raise it, the minimum wage, sometime during 2021. As I've said, we've seen that how our economy bounced back way more quickly than anybody expected. Our economy is in better shape than most economies around the world because of the wage subsidy scheme that we had in place during the lockdown, because of the economic impetus that we've put in place, the $3 billion extra infrastructure spending, the shovel-ready projects, the $12 billion that we committed to at the end of last year. Actually, our economy is in good shape to pick up and take off. We know that our exporters have continued to do very well. We saw the Fonterra result last week, where they've gone from deficit last year to significant profit this year. And we know that one of the reasons for that is that all of a sudden, actually, as a result of our response to COVID-19, food and beverage from New Zealand is seen around the world as a much safer product because we're seen as a country that has handled the virus so well. So we are now getting a premium for a lot of our export products. That is going to help our economy to recover much more quickly. So I think we will be in a good position to increase the minimum wage at some point next year, likewise to increase the minimum entitlement to sick leave.
I kind of want to move on to something that's more related to your justice portfolio. Now, a woman yesterday gave evidence at the Royal Commission into State Care Abuse 2 days ago, saying she was given electroconvulsive therapy 200 times over 12 years because she came out as a lesbian during the 1970s. So I kind of know conversion therapy is still legal in New Zealand. Why hasn't that been banned yet?
Yeah, I'm not sure it's possible to say it's legal. It certainly hasn't been outlawed, but we know that there are some places where it is pitched as we can pray away the gay, or we can save you from being gay. It is hideous. It is ridiculous. The evidence that woman gave to the Royal Commission is frightful, and it reflected the incredibly warped thinking of some in the mental health and health communities, back 40, 50 years ago. We certainly don't want to go back to that very, very dark past. Look, it's something that we've been looking very closely at. We've been looking at what happens in other jurisdictions. We think that it is right to look at what we need to do. I'm not in a position to confirm any practical action just at the moment, but it is an issue that we have been looking closely at.
What about the Labour Party's position? I kind of know Labour MP Marsha Lubeck has put in a members' bill to ban conversion therapy altogether here in New Zealand. Is that bill going to be taken more progress if a Labour government is re-elected?
Yeah, well, she's got it in the members' ballot, and with the full support of the party and the caucus. I mean, we tried to get something across the line without having to go through the members' bill process, but we couldn't get all of our partner parties on board. But it is something that we're paying very close attention to. At some point, it would be right for New Zealand to do something about it. But it is an area of ongoing work for us.
That was Labour MP Andrew Little. The Wire.